Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call if you can, 844-322-2742. That's the number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Something you'd like to discuss, a question you'd like to pose, good opportunity right now. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and sure hated missing yesterday's broadcast with John Andrews. Gosh, he is such a delightful guy.
He
has written some just quality novels with his Outlaw Preacher series.
Yeah.
And as we encouraged our listeners yesterday to go to Amazon, get a copy of those, we're going to encourage you again today. Those are just great reads. Take a ride with John. You will never forget it. And along the way, you're going to learn some incredible stuff about the Lord Jesus and what this life of faith is all about. He is just brilliant in the way he blends real-life circumstances with the gospel, how he allows the gospel to really shape and transform those situations as they come our way. And I'm just thrilled with those books. I hated missing it, but yesterday I was under the weather and needed to stay under there for the day. So I'm glad I'm here today.
We are too.
And today is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's, tacking the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. It started a Reformation. We feel those ripple effects even today in many areas. I mean, we have democracy. We have a constitution. We have equal rights. You know, we talk about equal rights. All of those things kind of flowed from the Reformation. Yes. Those weren't in the heart of Martin Luther. He didn't set out to bring about those. But as the Reformation progressed, other people got into the mix, like John Knox and John Calvin. Some of these other ideas started to take root, and we've felt those ripple effects even today. There's a couple of questions to ask on a day like this. One, you know, are things that we should be protesting in the church today? And if so, are we willing to do that? And I think that gets down to the idea that we always need to keep the gospel front and center. Just throughout human history, there's a tendency for world events to cover up the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's no more important story that's ever been told, that's ever being told, that's ever being lived out in human history than the story of Jesus. And anytime a person responds to that good news, responds in faith to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they are included in that story in a positive way. Then their life takes on the good news story itself. So I think what we need to do is always be prepared to, you know, to bring out the power wash and say, hey, we are going to spray all the clutter off, and we're going to make sure this story about Jesus stands front and center. I think that's our task as a church. Paul said, I want to do one thing and one thing only, and that's testify to the grace of God. I think that's what we need to do as believers in Christ, to take the gospel seriously and to realize that it is going to start its work in human hearts individually, but as it does, it binds human hearts together in what we know as the body of Christ. And then this gospel message can have an outlet through this body of Christ into the world today. And that's how God intended it to be. So let's do everything in our power to preserve this gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, don't let it get covered over by worldly debris. It's like a boat. We have signs here in Dallas, you know, make sure you clean the bottom of the boat, because we don't want some virus or something that's going on in lakes around here to mess up the lakes. And how does it do that? It's these things that take root or, you know, grab a hold of the boat, and then they just start to cluster, and pretty soon it covers over the boat. and you have to get the power wash and wash it off so you can see what the boat's all about. Sometimes we need to do that with the gospel. We need to take a power washer and scrub all of the earthly debris, all of the worldly debris off of it so that we can see the purity of the story of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second thing that we want to talk about today is the fifth sola. You know, so there were five. It's Scripture alone. It's the grace of God alone. It's faith in Jesus alone. It's Jesus Christ alone. And all of this to the glory of God alone. And we see that a lot in the Word of God. The Westminster Catechism basically says the chief end of man is to glorify God. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. It's the why of human life, to glorify God. And I think when you first hear that, you start to wonder, it seems a little egotistical, doesn't it, that God wants everything to glorify him. And we need to really take a look at what the meaning of glory is so that we can understand it in its proper context. And let's start way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 30. I think one of the most courageous questions or statements was ever made in this particular chapter, Exodus 33:18. It's right after the escape from Egypt, this miraculous parting of the sea. The Egyptians die as the waters crash down on them. The Israelites are there at Mount Sinai. Moses has been up there talking to God or the angel of the Lord. And finally, he gets to a point in Exodus 33, and he says, Lord, and this is Moses speaking, please show me your glory. Now, that is an audacious, courageous statement, because he's already made known, God has already made known, that anyone that gets too close to him will die. Not because, you know, they've done something wrong necessarily. It's just that they cannot stand in his presence. His essence is too much for them to handle. And so he's protected the people. But here Moses is saying, Lord, please show me your glory. Well, so what does God do? Well, he shows Moses his glory.
Yes.
Now, limited. It was just limited. It was the backside of this passing by him. But he puts Moses in the cleft of a rock, and he passes by. And so the first thing we learn about the glory of God, it's the presence of God. So when Moses asked for God to show him his glory, God showed up and showed him who he was. And in this presence of God, we learn something of the essence of God. So as God passed by, Moses heard, the Lord is forgiving, steadfast and kind, loves to everlasting. And so in the presence of God, we learn something about the essence of God. And that's what the glory of God is all about. It's knowing the real essence of God the Father. Well, how are we going to know that as individuals today? Well, God has made his glory known in the person of Christ Jesus. So in 2 Corinthians 4:6, we see this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So if we're going to know anything about the glory of God, the essence of God, what he's really like, then we need to look at the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came into this world, to make his Father known. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only one, full of grace and truth. So in Jesus, we find out two things about God just right off the bat, that he's a God of grace, he's a God of truth. It's important information for us to know. So if we're going to learn anything about the glory of God, if we're going to be bold enough to ask the question that Moses asked, Lord, show me your glory, then God's answer to us is going to be Jesus. He is going to reveal to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a break and we'll get back to the definition of glory in the Greek language and really see how this all comes together. why we want to give glory to God.
Well, you have found Basic Gospel on your radio dial or online, and we're glad that you're with us today. If you have a question or something you'd like to add to the conversation, give us a call, 844-322-2742. You know, this month we've been discussing the Protestant Reformation, ushered in by Martin Luther. It all began 500 years ago today, as Bob Christopher was saying, as Martin nailed his 95 Theses to the chapel door at Wittenberg, Germany. Now, coming out of this, Bob Christopher and Richard Piper have considered and discussed the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation, and they have done so in an excellent DVD series that we've called The Reformation Project. Now, this series has gotten rave reviews, and we want to make sure that you have one final opportunity to obtain a copy on your own by making your gift to Basic Gospel this month before midnight tonight. It's available to everyone who makes that gift to Basic Gospel in the month of October, which, as I said, ends tonight at midnight. So don't miss your chance to get a copy. Just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, and you can also call 844-322-2742 to make your gift, and you'll receive your copy of this DVD series, great series that Bob and Richard have put together, The Reformation Project. Once again, basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button or call 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, you know, as a young guy, I grew up in a Methodist church, and you went to a particular church, and I don't know if you did this in your church services every Sunday, but once the offering was passed and all the plates had been collected, the organ hit a note.
Praise God.
And all we all swallowed. Stood in unison, yeah. And we sang the doxology and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now, as a kid, I didn't pay much attention to that. It was kind of an annoying practice because I had to stand up. I had just gotten comfortable and now I had to stand up and sing this song. But I didn't pay much attention to it. It was just part of our service. It's just what we did. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the sermon started. And, you know, then after that, it was, you know, the closing prayer. We could go home and life was good for me. But so we sang the doxology. And it's interesting today to kind of look at that word because it comes from the Greek word, which means glory. And it's the Greek word doxa, D-O-X-A. And that particular word comes from another word, so it has a root word, and that root word means this, to think or to recognize or to apprehend something. So glory is tied to the mind, the thinking, the recognizing. So when we're giving glory to God, our thoughts have been transformed by the truth of the gospel. We've recognized it for what it is, and we're responding appropriately. So that's what it means to give glory of God, give glory to God. So when we sang that doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow, we were recognizing, acknowledging a truth that everything that we had came from the hand of God. Well, that's true with this gospel message. This salvation that we have all came from the hand of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So his love for mankind, his love for you, moved him to send Jesus so that in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you could have life everlasting. So when our minds comprehend that truth and our hearts respond by faith, we're giving glory to God. Yes. Because there's no other salvation apart from him. If he did not choose to act toward us in grace, there would be no hope, there would be no salvation for any one of us. So when we see Jesus, when we encounter the gospel, we learn something about God. We learn that he's not that mean old ogre in the sky, that he's not a vengeful God. We learn that he loves us, that indeed his essence is that God is love. So in his presence, in Jesus, we learn the essence of God. And when we learn the essence of God, when we find out what he's really like, then our hearts want to respond back to him in praise and the giving of glory. That's an exciting thing, isn't it, Richard?
It is. It's when you begin to understand that that God reveals himself to us in Christ and then reveals himself in us in the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that's really what glory is all about, how can we not continue to respond accordingly? It just is a perfect picture of the life we're intended to live.
That's exactly right. And then the last thing I want to tie together in this is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Because we started today's broadcast with the question that Moses asked, Lord, show me your glory. Mm-hmm. So God honored that, and he showed him his glory. Now, the Apostle Paul used that as a point of telling the story, the contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So he said the law came with glory.
Yes.
And it would have to. Why? Because it came from the hand of God.
Yeah.
Anything that comes from the hand of God has glory attached to it. But as we learned in this story with Moses, his face radiated. And so when he went down to the people, he was a frightening figure to them. So he put a veil over his face. And so they could still see something from behind the veil, but it was veiled. Mm-hmm. The full glory was not there. And then it was fading. It was a fading glory. Now, Paul uses that to say that that law, that that Mosaic covenant, came with glory, but it paled in comparison to the eternal glory of the new covenant. Why? Because that old covenant was time-stamped. It had just a set duration. It was going to end at the death of Jesus Christ. And also, it was a ministry of condemnation of and death. So he said, if that came with glory, how much more is going to be the surpassing glory of this new covenant that is all about life everlasting and eternal righteousness? And then he goes on to say that veil remains when the Old Testament is read, but whenever the veil is lifted when somebody sees the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Yeah.
So if we're going to understand the glory of God, if our hearts are going to respond in a way that is showing forth apprehension of the truth, that we've gotten it, then we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to praise God for Jesus, and we're going to praise God for this new covenant that we live in, this yeah. new covenant of life that has unlocked the doors of sin and death that imprisoned us and set us free so that we could experience new life in Jesus Christ. So the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We experience that glory, what God intended us to be, when we walk in this new covenant that Jesus established through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the glory of God is all about. So we can say, to the glory of God alone. We wouldn't have the new covenant apart from God sending Jesus to finish the work to establish the new.
Period. End of story.
That's right. Mic drop, folks.
Yeah. 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 Looks like we have a call on the screen, Bob.
Well, let's go to that. We're going to talk to John down in San Angelo, Texas. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
I had a question for you, and it sounds like y'all pretty well hit a good portion of it, though, on the head. I was specifically asking about how the I wanted to know more in depth because, and I'd like to explain myself a little bit. I went to a Bible college, and they taught about the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant, much like what you just explained. And very rarely, in the college itself, they taught, you know, straight from the Bible. They didn't, you know, go off into psychology or other things like that. But I specifically have a difficulty understanding New Testament commands that were given by the apostles and how they kind of fit in with grace. I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Please, you know, stop me if, you know, I say something or I misunderstand something. But from what I understand, the grace of God empowers us to follow the ways that God has laid for us, the attitudes, the way to handle ourselves around other people's and in our mind, you know, I mean the whole shebang. But
John, let me ask you this. Are you married or single?
Single.
Single, okay. So there's a command in the Bible that says do not be unequally yoked, right?
Correct.
I think, and so we can look at that as a command, and you can say, oh my gosh, I better keep that law. So we can look at it from that vantage point, or we can look at it and realize that maybe God really does love me and cares for me and wants the very best for me. And
Right. That's
what the gospel, that's the rock that the gospel leads us to, that rock of standing in the love of God, knowing that everything that God tells us is a response, or not a response, but flows out of his love for us as his children. So there would be a reason, John, that he would say for you not to be unequally yoked. Why? Because there's going to be lots of, marriage is something that really reflects the relationship between Christ and his church. There's an intimacy, a oneness that's there. And if you're not on the same page as far as light and darkness is concerned, then you're going to have a problem with the marriage. It's not going to be what God wants it to be or desires it to be for you. So when you look at that and say, well, God loves me, he's already demonstrated that for me, and this, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died. So I know that if he's telling me not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, that he's doing so for my benefit. So I'm going to pay attention. And I'm going to trust him. So this whole life gets down to trust. You're going to have to come to the point and say, I trust that God knows best for me, so I'm going to live out what he tells me to do. It's not because you're trying to get made right with God. It's not because you're trying to avoid punishment. It's because you're recognizing truth, that God does love you, that he does care for you, and he has your best interests at heart. So instead of looking at it as a law to be obedient to, look at it as a loving heart to trust and to follow. It's a big difference,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I was looking for.
Okay. Well, good deal, John.
Yeah,
and
yes, great question.
It's a fantastic question, and sure glad you called on this special day.
Yeah, not Halloween.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you hold the line, and I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You hold on, okay?
Yeah, friends. Good to hear from John. Friends, I want to remind you that if you're visually oriented, you can join us on the Basic Gospel Facebook or YouTube channels as we stream live video every day. Hope you'll take advantage of this new venue that God has given us to share the gospel, and we hope you're using it already. If not, go ahead and join us that way if you can. And as we close this month of October, this is the final time you will hear this offer of a copy of our DVD series, The Reformation Project, as our thanks for your October gift to Basic Gospel. The offer ends tonight at midnight, so please take advantage today if you can. It's a series you just don't want to miss. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. I want to remind you also that you can stay connected with Basic Gospel with the Basic Gospel app. You can listen live, you can send us a question, or you can make a donation. That's a good idea. Hey, you can do it all on the Basic Gospel app. We hope you'll download it today. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.